Whether you've been here before or you never left, don't let your time slip away. It's the worst kind of theft. You don't get any return sitting wallowing in shame. It's time to put in work, bringing greatness to your name. It takes focus and dedication. We're not talking about luck. Gotta keep moving forward. Welcome to Coming Unstuck. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Coming Unstuck, a Step Up to Greatness podcast. I'm here with Ely Magic, a magician, a real magician. So, Ely, I just got to ask you, man, is Hogwarts as big as it looks?
Hogwarts?
Yeah, Hogwarts. You know, the school for magicians?
Well, it's a school for wizards. I'm a magician. I'm not a wizard.
So you've never been to Hogwarts?
Well, seeing that it's an imaginary thing in a movie, no, I haven't.
So do you know Harry Potter? Have you ever met him?
No, I have not met Harry Potter.
Hermione?
I haven't met Hermione.
All right, well, this interview is a little different than I thought it was going to be.
With that.
Does it make you and others in the magician community angry that companies like Marvel cast actors like Cumberbatch and Elizabeth Olsen to play wizards and witches when they could use you?
Not really, because I'm not an actor. So I don't think I would do well in a Marvel movie, whereas an actor and actress would.
But so, you're a magician, so you could do the stuff instead of them having to use visual effects. You could just do the stuff that they do in the movie.
I guess, yeah. I'd never really thought of it that way.
So doesn't it make you angry?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you're being pretty humble. So if I could get you to brag for a minute, like, what's the greatest, like, biggest spell you've cast?
Spell?
Yeah, spell. You're a magician. Like, spells? Like, you know, turn someone into a frog or, you know, made someone disappear.
That's not what kind of magic I do. I don't cast spells.
Okay. So how about this? For, you know, this is just my second season of this podcast episode. How much would it cost me if I hired you to cast a spell for like a million viewers and listeners?
I can't cast spells, but I'd do it for $10,000.
$10,000. Okay. What about like 1,000 listeners then?
1,000 listeners? It's a long shot, but maybe $1,000.
That's better. We're going to have to keep going down. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Coming Unstuck, a Step Up to Greatness podcast. Here with me today is the great Ely Magic, Ely the magician. We are having a little fun there. Thank you for being such an awesome sport. As I was telling you before we start rolling, Ely, the purpose here of Coming Unstuck is to help people get past that feeling of being stuck, whether it be in their mindset, their health, their career, even their relationships. And you and I had the pleasure of meeting just over a week ago, and you were doing a act for a company Christmas party, and it was awesome having you there, man. So I'm really excited to talk to you today. So thank you again so much for taking this time today.
Of course. What did you think of the performance?
I got to be honest, man. Like, when it first started, like, and you were telling us, like, yeah, I'm 21. I've been doing magic since I was 4. I was like, I mean, some of our guys are younger guys, but then we have some older guys. And I just turned 40 this past year myself. And something like, really? They hired a magician? Like, Okay. All right, let's see how this goes. But you hooked us all in, man. Like, it was such an awesome performance. I just love some of the reactions. Like, at one point, we had those two guys run out of the room because they couldn't believe what happened. And you had such humor. You delivered right on point and stuff. And it was just, it was a great, great show. And so I knew immediately after you were done, I'm like, I got to talk to him about being on my podcast. I got to learn more about this guy.
Thank you for having me, dude. I'm very honored to be here.
And thank you again for having that fun little Between Two Ferns start. That was just a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll get some giggles on that one. So
I love it.
So how and when did you first get into magic? Because I heard a little bit of your story, you know, last week, but I, you know, to get a little bit more and for our listeners and viewers, because this is the first video episode that we're doing for the next season of Coming Unstuck. So how and when did you get into magic? Like, what made you be like, huh, this is cool, this is what I want to do?
Right, definitely. So when I was 4 years old, my mom introduced magic to me. She just gave me a gift, and it was a small purple tin can with four balls, three cups, some string, a magic wand, and a deck of cards and some instructions. I was 4 years old, so I didn't know how to read well at the time. So my mom would read the instructions to me, and I would learn that way. And I would show the adults in my family the magic tricks that I had just learned, and they would act as if I was Houdini. They would, even if I got their card wrong or messed up the trick, they would run out of the room. They would freak out, and it basically built my confidence and made me want to continue my journey with magic. So I practiced magic every day, 6 hours a day until I was 13. Wow. 9 years of being single, essentially. And that's it. That's my story, man.
So you said that was from 6 till you were 13?
Four years old to 13 years old.
Years old to 13 years old. And talking about being single, like, that's great for back then. What about growing up then? Like, what was your childhood like? Since you were a magician, were you getting into trouble? Were you a class clown? Were you a teacher's pet? Were you making the teachers laugh? And were you still doing, like, getting into sports and stuff? Or were you kind of on the outliers of everything?
It's a great question. Honestly, I wish I was a teacher's pet. I don't think any of the teachers liked me because I was the class clown. I was always interrupting. I was always making loud noises and being extra, and I would do anything to grab attention. I love attention, and all my life I would scream, act out, just be an idiot, make people laugh. And the teachers, I really believe they'd never forgot me, because now they comment on my Facebook post, my Instagram post. They DM me, "How you doing? Let's get lunch, let's catch up." Like, it's really cool to see that, because I was never like a jerk, though. You know what I mean? Like, I never was like a total jerk. I was just the fun, you know, loud kid that they wanted to. They were like, "Shut up, dude! Like, let us teach." So that's basically who I was in school growing up. And I did sports in middle school. I did football all 4 years of my middle school career, and I only did it because I was trying to fit in. I love the sport of football. I love watching the Browns play, but it's not for me. I never was meant to play football. I just did it because I wanted to be with the cool kids, and that's wrong. I learned in high school, like, screw that, be yourself. That's what's important.
What position did you play in football?
I played on offense and defense as a right guard and a right tackle.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of the same. Like, again, you saw me just over a week ago, and so I have a little bit bigger frame, and but we had a lot of athletic guys stuff. So I played football in eighth grade myself, and I was a right guard as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then Then in ninth grade, I switched and actually ran cross country because a lot of friends I made at the, towards the end of eighth grade ran track, and then I got into it and ran cross country. And then my brother was, my middle brother was a high school senior when I was a freshman, so he played football. But then after he graduated, my parents were like, well, who are we going to watch play football now? So I kind of felt pressured to go back to football.
Right. Yeah.
So I started out the summer doing the 2-a-days with the football team again, which was actually kind of cool because, again, given away my age, this was like one of the years that the Browns had left and had first moved to Baltimore. So, we were in Berea is the high school. And so it's now Berea Mid Park, but we actually got to use the Browns training facility for our 2-a-days in the summer.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. And so I wanted to play linebacker, but they kind of made us like for the 2 days, morning I had to do offense, afternoon I had to do defense or flip flop. So defense, I was trying to make as a linebacker. Offense, I'm like, well, we got running backs, we got tight ends. Like, I'm not gonna be a quarterback. Whatever, right. I'll do line. Fine, I'll be offensive line. And I guess it was a gift and a curse that I happened to use my knowledge of. Okay, it's all about leverage and getting lower. And I was actually doing really good, like better at being a lineman than I was in the defensive part and being a linebacker. And they kept praising me. I'm like, no, I don't want to play line. No, like, stop it. No. And I ended up like, you know what? I don't want to do football. So I didn't even make it to the season. I went right back to cross country.
Gotcha. Stuff, so. Crazy.
But man, playing guard and running those pulling trap plays, and we're the pulling guard and you're lighting up the dude that has no idea coming. Oh, love that.
It was fun, man. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was. So you still did, you said you kind of from 4 to 13. What about from 13 to where you are now, 21 and continuing with the magic?
That's what I like to call the go time period. And what that means is I was done practicing like religiously in front of a mirror. And now I was honing in my craft and doing it professionally. That was the biggest move when I was 13. And I did my first gig at Oak Barrel. That's what it's called. Oak Barrel in Independence for $50 for 4 hours of magic. Yeah, I know. It was a lot of magic for only $50. But I was 13. I was trying to, you know, get my foot through the door. And nevertheless, that's what happened. When I was 16, I met my mentor, who is my best friend in the whole world, Rick Smith Jr. And we've traveled the world together. We've done some cool things. I've been to 11 countries, 25 states. Since then, I'm still in the go time period. I'm not going to be out of the go time period until I'm the greatest, the GOAT. And until then, that's after go time. We call that fun time.
Okay. I was wondering what that the next phase was going to be since you're in go time and but you're trying to become the GOAT. So I was wondering if that's at time or just, you know, to finish that word, but fun time. Yeah, I like
that. Don't get me wrong. Like, you can have fun in the go time period, but realistically there's a lot of work to be done and we're just getting started. So
you mentioned your mentor, Rick Smith Jr. So I'm guessing he's a magician as well.
He is. Yeah. And he's a 4-time world record card thrower.
Wow.
Yeah, like, he could throw a card very fast.
Dang. Okay. I didn't even know they had competitions. I mean, I've seen like for thrown into like watermelons and stuff like that, but I didn't know they were timing that. So that's pretty cool. What about other, aside from Rick, like other magicians you grew up idolizing and kind of following? And what about other magicians now that you kind of watch on the bigger stage?
Yeah, definitely. David Blaine was always a huge one. Chris Angel was always a huge one. I used to watch VHS tapes of The Masked Magician, which was such a ridiculous show because they would reveal magic tricks that you know, only cost the small amount of $1 million to build a set like that. Wow. They'd be like, in today's episode, we're going to teach you how to saw an elephant in half and bring it back together and then make two Ferraris disappear. And I'm over here like, you know, 7-8 years old watching these VHS tapes. And I'm like, I can't afford even any of this set. Not even a little bit. And so I would watch that show. And that was a big thing for me. Cause I would, honestly, I knew how all the tricks worked. I would just dream about being the guy that one day gets to handle those props and work with them. And obviously I do now. I'm able to handle big stage illusions and cool things like that. We have illusions for our Magic Gives Back tour that are created by David Copperfield's guys, who makes his illusions. And it's really, you know, amazing. Just like looking back, seeing the people I did idolize and seeing now who's still there. You know, I David Blaine's definitely still there. I have mutual friends of David Blaine. I would love to meet him. Same with Chris Angel, still up there. But then, you know, there's guys that I'm not going to name that were once in my idolization, but then I met them and they're not in my you know,
right,
you know what I'm saying?
Your hierarchy. Yeah, there's a saying like never meet your heroes for a reason and stuff. And
yeah
I mean, you know, it's sad when the people that you look up to aren't what you think they are.
It's not all of them. Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, it happens. So, but it's good, you know, to know for you guys that David Blaine, he's always, I still look up to him. I think he's a mad genius in magic. I think he's far greater than the magicians that people idolize today. But unfortunately, I'm coming for you, David Blaine.
Shots fired.
I'm not number two. You know what I mean? I'd say to this day, I'm the number one magician on earth, and I proudly believe that. And we're going to work until everyone else believes it too.
I saw that on your website. I see that you're still building it back up, but I saw at the top there, like, ranked number one in the world. I'm like,
I wish you saw my website 2 days ago when it wasn't completely under construction. It looked pretty nice.
I know how that is. I a few years ago was trying to really get more into the speaking circuit and had just been hired for a networking event in downtown Cleveland, and like, all right, well, we need like some headshots for you. We need like your website and all this information stuff. And like, I literally was doing the same thing. I had just started tearing down my website to build it back up. Yeah, and I, like you, I saw you were using WordPress. Like, I had no idea what I was doing there. Like, my brother helped set up my website the first time. Yeah. And so I would be on WordPress for hours trying to figure out how to do one thing. I would call my brother and like, dude, this is what I'm trying to do. Boop, 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 boop. 15, 20 minutes later, he'd have done. I'm like, what am I doing wasting my time with this? Like,
dude,
this
I'm not sponsored by WordPress, but they're amazing. If you could, you know, I've talked to a lot of professionals and they say that WordPress is the best website builder. So I'm excited to be using it. It's just a lot of intricate stuff. I coded my other websites in the past. I'm happy to switch over and use WordPress now. But it is very complicated.
Yeah. So. Well, and that's the thing is, I think depending on the level of membership or however you want to pay your subscription to it, depends on how much you can really do with it. Because I think I was at like a base level. And so I would go around looking at like the different themes for my website. Yeah. Like, oh, that looks awesome. Like, boom, I know exactly what to do. And I get there and it's like, well, no, you have the dumbed down version. Like, you can only do something like. And plus, the other thing I know with WordPress, I'm not trying to knock WordPress. I'm just saying I'm like a novice and stuff. And like a lot of the stuff, like from what I understand, anyone can code for WordPress and put their themes up there.
Yeah.
But with like, I switched my website to Wix because for me, it was easier for me to manage. Yeah. I'm not sponsored by Wix either. So I'm not, but knowing that it's all created and worked from the same place and stuff, and it's their people. So you're not going to, like, some of the people that could create themes on WordPress can also put viruses in there to get into your stuff. Like, I'm like, I'll go with the Wix, and I've been pretty happy there, but
good, dude.
But I'm looking forward to seeing your website. I've been kind of rooting around your Instagram and stuff and seeing what you've been doing there. So it's good. It's all good. It's all good. Now you mentioned watching those past shows like The Masked Magician and stuff like that. And kind of you mentioned knowing how they do some of those illusions and everything. So do you watch these other like illusionists and magicians like and kind of judge them like on like Penn and Teller's like you can't fool me or whatever, I forget the name of it. It's like you fool us or something like that. Penn and Teller. Yeah, fool us. Do you like sit and watch and be like, dude, I know how you did that. I know how you did that like pretty easily, or does it take some thinking for you to figure out?
Honestly, like, I don't watch any of these shows, but like people will send me, like magician friends of mine will send me mutual friends that have been on the show, which is incredible. And I'll watch their performance and I don't even try and figure it out, even though most of the time I have an idea of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I enjoy watching magic. Like a lot. I love watching magic shows. As crazy as that sounds, like if I could sit in a in-person magic show in Vegas or wherever, I will, because I thoroughly enjoy being entertained and I try to stay away from work. I like to enjoy, you know. So I never really try and like break down what they're doing unless we're having a magic jam with other magicians and we are trying to figure out certain methods and this and that, but not really. Honestly, I just try and enjoy it, because when I show magic and people want to figure it out so bad and they're like, tell me how you do that, I'm like, just enjoy it, you know, like, right. Don't ruin it. Just let it.
You had to do that a couple of times last week, so.
Just enjoy it. I know. So.
That's cool. So what about, you just mentioned magic jams again, things that I didn't know existed and stuff. That's cool. Like, does that happen at Hogwarts? You know, I'm just
kidding. It does. No, magic jams, essentially, we all go to like a place, whether it be like Dave and Buster's or the Wild Eagle or wherever, and we get a huge table and we invite all the magicians from Ohio. And we sit down amongst ourselves and we show each other new magic we've been working on. And the coolest part about it is we reveal our secrets to one another, trying to help each other out. So I've learned quite a lot from magicians who aren't even necessarily performers, because some magicians there's magic makers and they'll come to these magic jams and they're very introverted. They're not an extroverted personality where they can go and perform, but they will sit at home and hone their craft and do magic and create new variations of old classic tricks. And then they'll bring it up to the magic jams and they're not nervous around other magicians. So we'll get to see them perform and learn some of those tricks. And it's just really cool. It's beneficial. It's like a networking event. It's good to see your old magician friends. Shout out Nick Popa, who is an incredible performer and magic maker from Columbus.
What up, Nick?
Nick, I love Nick Popa, dude. He's the coolest dude ever. I remember we were like at TGIF. Is that what it's called? TGIF Fridays.
TGI Fridays, yeah.
Yeah, it was
if so. It's F Fridays. You're at an extra F. It's TGIF.
Yeah, TGI Fridays. Yeah. And we went there, and he's like, "Dude, look at this dollar. It just vanishes." And I'm like, "Whoa, where did it go?" So, yeah, dude, it's really cool.
Awesome. So, with that, with these guys that are just the magic makers, as you call them, they come to these magic jams, and like I said, you're revealing how you do these tricks. Like, do these guys get like any kind of kickbacks for showing you guys these tricks? Like, do you guys like foot the bill at least for them, like so they're eating it and, you know, getting gas for free or whatever, or they're just it's just, you know, goodwilling it to you guys.
No, I mean, usually the bill's on one. We take care of it. And when it comes to how they make money off of this when they're not performing, because it's a great question, how are these guys making money? Well, there's certain websites online that are very well known. There's like websites like Illusionist, I can say that. And there's plenty of other magic websites. Some are private, some are public. And these guys will sell their tricks to these websites, and magicians that want to learn magic can buy them for, like, you know, whatever it'd be, $10, $20, $40. And depending on the type of trick, the whether it's beginner, intermediate, advanced, whatever, it's all relevant to how much it will cost. And that's how they make money.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Because I was thinking it, you know, you have the songwriters and stuff, like they usually will sell their song to a student musician. So I was thinking it, okay, well, if everyone's just showing up, but that makes sense.
Well, for example, Nick Popo, we're sitting at TGI Fridays and he takes the dollar bill and makes it disappear. I look at him, I say, how much? He's like, what do you mean? I go, I need to know how you did that. How much do you want? He's like, I will teach you for $20. So I gave him $20. He taught me and He helped me learn it, and so there's things that happen like that.
So then he basically made $21 disappear then.
Exactly, yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah. Right into his
pocket. Awesome. Awesome. So what about the other part, like coming up with a trick yourself? Like, what goes into that process for you? Are you looking at old tricks and just trying to create new spins, or do you actually come up with brand new tricks like no one's ever tried before?
Yeah, both. I'm always trying to come up with things that no one's ever done, because that's the stuff that's different. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that has the most viral continuity. And I'm always, it's just so hard. And I've actually, I'm COVID is always a blessing and a curse. But with COVID happening, and you guys were actually my last show for the season, all my shows in January got canceled, which was a bummer. But, you know, looking on the bright side and at the positives, I'm able to hone my craft. And I have been working with old classic, you know, magic like ideas. And I've been messing with these magic ideas that are from the 1930s, 1940s. And I've been putting them into my style of performance, and also working on all kinds of new styles of mentalism, which is pretty cool, because that's an interesting way to make your own tricks, when you take an old magic trick from the 30s, the 40s, and then you mix it with something that you learned or created from now in the present, and you combine them. And that's what I've been doing. I recently took a method of an old 1930s trick involving music, and I've put it into my act recently, which is actually, you saw that in the show with the gentleman, his song started playing on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
That's awesome. A very old method. It's almost 100 years old. So,
wow. I didn't think iPhones were that old.
No. Yeah, exactly. Right.
No, that's awesome. You mentioned COVID, man. It's like that mentalism, man, you're reading my mind. I was going to ask you, like, how has COVID like affected you and your growth as like a magician and stuff over the last 2 years? Obviously Omicron's going to give you some time off now, definitely. But like, how has it affected the last 2 years? Because, you know, I mentioned a couple years ago, I was just trying to break in the speaking circuit. And then just in November, I had my first speaking gig in over a year because everyone like shut down everything. Right. So how have you been continuing to like progress and push forward, especially building your showmanship and your career?
Definitely.
During these 2 years?
Well, honestly, I think that I learned this from a very young age. When I started, performing tricks on social media and growing that platform. I learned that with every bad thing, there's a blessing in disguise. And I'm glad that that stuck with me for a long time. With every problem comes a solution, things like that. And COVID sucks, man. Everyone's going through it. I can't say that I have it worse than anyone else. So honestly, you know, obviously it's affected business, you know, exponentially. In 2019, I did 250 shows. In 2020, I did 10 shows. In 2021, I did almost 180, which is incredible because things were going back to normal. And this year is not looking good so far, right. 2022. But I will say that's okay because I'm still going to continue reaching the masses on social media. I'm going to continue practicing magic, and I'm going to do collaborations this year. It's going to be awesome, and I'm very excited. COVID, it's a storm, and it's going to pass eventually. You know what I mean?
Yep. So, I was, when we were doing our Between Two Ferns riff, I was almost going to ask you, like, dude, how come you and your friends haven't, like, cast a spell to make COVID disappear? Like, what are you guys dragging your feet for? Like,
I wish I could, dude.
You know, is it he who shall not be named? Is he keeping you from doing it? Like, what's going on here? Like, so.
Yeah, dude, literally. I honestly, bro, I wish I could because, you know, it affected everyone. But honestly, we're going to get through it, man. We're all human. Mm-hmm. We've seen worse. Look at history. We, as a human society, we have seen much worse and been through much worse. This is nothing. You know what I mean?
I appreciate your optimism, man. I really hope that's the case because
I do too.
You saw me. I was one of two people with that group that was wearing masks. So
yeah.
So it's gonna take some convincing, you know.
I know that you're right.
So you mentioned you've traveled to many places and met all kinds of people and stuff. Like, what are some of the highlights of places you've been to and the people you've performed for?
Okay. Sweden has the most beautiful people ever. Guys and girls, they look like models, dude. All of them. I don't know what the genetic code in Sweden is, but it's phenomenal. I don't know what they're doing over there.
Pretty sure it's free healthcare. Get on it, US. Get on it. Come on.
Yeah, legitimately, because they're all beautiful. But when it really comes to like memories of traveling, I always take it back to my home country of Lebanon. I've been able to inspire impact over there, and it's been incredible. I love going to the village, Amun, El Kura. That's where I'm from. Okay. And I love going and seeing all the kids come to the Malab, which is like the soccer field in the village. And we'll all go there, and I'll show them magic. And it's always a, you know, very memorable moment whenever I'm there. I loved Mexico. I loved Denmark. I loved Jordan, France. Everywhere I've gone, I've loved. I wish I've gone more places. Honestly, I can't wait to travel more and spread magic more. That's the beauty of social media. I'm so glad I was born in the time that I was born in, because social media has allowed me to reach far more people than any magician in the 1920s, you know, like Houdini would be able to reach.
Right.
You know? So this is incredible, time we're living.
That's awesome, man. Let's see. When you do like your bigger stage shows, do you have any kind of walk-up music? Like, what's your jam? Like, what do you get into? What gets you excited and pumped, ready for your shows?
I love it, man. The pump-up song. Yeah. We play pre-show music in the auditorium. We'll play like Feels Like Summer by Weezer.
Okay.
Weezer. And we'll play you know, I Got a Feeling, and you know, really like upbeat songs for the audience. But honestly, I'll be in the back like Earbuds in, black and yellow, Wiz Khalifa. Okay. Blared. That's my walkout song, dude.
There you go. There you go. Even though you're Browns fan, I know.
That's the only problem with that song. But
you can do some Machine Gun Kelly or something, man.
Like, oh, dude, yeah. I listen to Machine Gun Kelly. I listen to all kinds of Cleveland-based artists. Kid Cudi. I listen to just literally anyone I could find. There's so many new artists as well from Cleveland who are upcoming. So shout out Cleveland. Woo!
That's what's up, dog pound. Although it looks like we're not gonna make the playoffs after Kansas City blew it. That's all right. There's always next year is our motto here in Cleveland. You know,
my buddy Jared is with me today, and he FaceTimed me. Was it that game, bro? The Kansas City game where he should have took the timeouts. Raiders. But dude, it was so sad. Like.
Yeah,
I was sad. He was sad. Go Browns for life. I always have hope. This whole season, I was like, we're going to the Super Bowl. But slowly, it was like, we're going to the Super Bowl. So sad.
Yeah. It's all right. We'll figure it out. I'm sure we'll figure it. Stuff. So what's got for, well, let's, I heard you got a trick for me. You want to do a little magic for those that are going to watch the video podcast?
So check this out. It's for the video podcasters. I have a deck of cards in my hand, okay? I'm not letting it leave this screen. I'm going to keep it right here in view.
All right.
You can see it?
Got it, man. Got it.
I want you to name any card, not an easy card like the Ace of Spades, okay?
Well, man, you just took my one.
I know you love that.
All right. Got it.
All right. For the first time ever, name your card.
Queen of Hearts.
The Queen of Hearts. Are you sure?
Yeah.
What if I told you that there is one card when I open the deck and pull it out, it's the Queen of Hearts?
And say you're bullshitting me.
Dude, look. I'm going to open it up. Look what actually comes out.
He pulled out a Queen of Hearts. And there's no other cards in that.
There it is. No, there's
okay. It's the front. It's the front card. Like, man. Okay. Hearts. All right.
Pretty cool.
I know what it was because you had me talking about my wife in our text messages leading up to it, so you knew she was gonna be in my head. Like you, man.
You're full of it. Yeah.
You hoodwinked me, dude. You hoodwinked me. Like,
man, you're so funny, dude.
Are you sure you don't know Hermione? Like for real.
I don't. I'm sorry, dude.
No, I'm sorry for you, man. It's no, dude. Like this has been such fun. I'm glad you're representing Cleveland. My wife is her family's Lebanese origin and stuff. So she'd be proud of you. I came home and told her like, hey, this dude was hilarious. Oh, that was the other question. I did have one more question to ask you. So your stage presence was phenomenal. You're awesome. You were hilarious. You had great humor, timing. Aside from magicians, do you study like comedians as well? Because I know there are some like mixes of some like Piff the Magic Dragon and stuff. Like he cracks me up and stuff. So
yeah, Piff, Tape Face. I study Sebastian Maniscalco, Jim Carrey. These are all, you know, people I literally watch their, you know, Netflix specials, their movies, anything and everything that I can. I study comedians because I love to involve comedy into my routines. It makes it fun and keeps everyone on their toes, just laughing and excited for the next thing. I also study other magicians who are comedy magicians, so they'll do magic and also involve comedy in the routine, and I love to switch up what they're saying and make it better. So
nice. Now, one more thing is, again, this podcast is Coming Unstuck, and it's helping you overcome the feeling of being stuck. Maybe you're working on a new trick and you just keep hitting this mental block, or maybe you just had a month worth of shows canceled and that's kind of got you down and stuff. Like you kind of already, hinted towards it stuff about looking for the silver lining in the dark clouds stuff, but like what are the steps you take or the people you talk to or the things that you do personally to help you come unstuck and keep moving forward?
You have to continue to keep moving forward. And you have to surround yourself with people that love and care about you. It doesn't have to be family, just anyone who is good for you. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future is the truest thing that I've ever been told. Surround yourselves with an environment of good people, good food, good music, good vibes, and keep your head up, keep smiling, and continue to move forward. Awesome. You know, every single one of us are like snowflakes. We're all different. Every single one of us. There's not one of us on this earth alike. Okay. We're all different, which means we're all here for our own individual purpose. Okay.
Absolutely.
And that's what you have to do. Hone in your craft, hone in your purpose, make people smile and repeat.
Awesome. There's not many people I would let get away with calling me a snowflake, but you... You, my friend, are one of them. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you being on. Where can our listeners find you and learn more about you?
Follow me on Instagram at Ely Magic. That's E-L-I-E Magic. And that's all that I have.
All right. His website is also elymagic.com, but it's under construction right now. He's got the wizards and witches in the background, kind of putting it back together, casting their spells, and I'm sure it's going to be phenomenal. Ely, I know January is not looking like you want to, but just keep doing what you're doing, man. Like, you were awesome. I really enjoyed your performance last week. I really enjoyed talking to you today. Such a pleasure. Wishing you the best of luck, and can't wait to see you continue climbing that ladder and be that number one magician that you're already proclaiming yourself to be. David Blaine, watch out, dude. Watch out. He already fired shots. Just look out. Ely, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Been an honor. I appreciate it.
And for all you listeners, just make sure, like you said, surround yourself with great people, great surroundings. Keep moving forward and step up to greatness. Get out of here. Go be great. What's going on, friends? Dustin Gruss, the Greatness Facilitator and host of Coming Unstuck, a Step Up to Greatness podcast, wanting to say thank you so much for checking out this podcast. Now, if you're not normally a visual person when it comes to your podcast, do remember that you can check it out on your normal audio streaming services in case you're jogging, running, working out, driving. You want to make sure you keep those eyes where they need to be. So check it out on your normal streaming services. If you are a video person though, be sure to like and subscribe to my channel, Step Up to Greatness, as you will be notified of when videos like this video podcast drops, as well as other video series such as Friday Fables and Short Stories. For all things greatness and greatness facilitating, be sure to check out my website, www.stepuptogreatness.com. And if you want to speak with me one-on-one about how I can help you find that life of greatness and to come unstuck, you can reach me at dustin@stepuptogreatness.com. In the meantime, keep moving forward and step up to greatness. Get out here, go be great.